In his last words, Christ tells us we are to be his witnesses in our communities, in our cities, in our nations, and to the ends of the earth. This is the Acts 1:8 Challenge. Accept this challenge today, and your church can become part of this worldwide mission. You're listening to the Acts 1:8 Challenge podcast.
This is Tim Yarbrough with the Acts 1:8 Challenge. I have with me here today Ed Edmondson and Brad Grover. Ed is a pastor of High Street Baptist Church in Somerset, Kentucky, and Brad Grover is the youth minister. How are you guys doing today?
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Thank you.
For the pastors and the mission pastors and youth ministers that may be listening to this podcast today, I met Brother Ed a number of months ago, and he was telling me about a lot of exciting things that are going on at High Street Baptist Church there in Somerset, Kentucky. And Ed, if you could tell us just a little bit for the audience out there, tell us a little bit about Somerset and the region that you minister in.
Okay. Somerset's a glorious community. It's about 27,000 total population, so it's a mid-sized town. It has the feeling of a small town, a lot of great amenities. And we're right on Lake Cumberland, which puts us in kind of a tourist area for the region. And demographically, we are about 98% Caucasian. It's an interesting demographic. We have some Hispanic speakers and some, black, and then some, 0.06 Pacific Island Asianers, et cetera, et cetera. But it's a beautiful community. A lot of transplants in from all around the country, retirees and young families, and a lot of industry. It is a thriving and growing population. By 2011, we're supposed to grow another 4.5%, 5%. So it's on the grow.
So you really minister in a very, I would call, very traditional Southern Baptist community then.
Yeah, it is. But in many ways, a lot of the churches here are beginning to adopt somewhat less traditional or more atypical types of ministry outreaches. And I think across the board, we're seeing some great results.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you've obviously been sharing many of those with me the last several months and some things that you've been doing here in the first part of this year. Brad, tell us a little bit about the student ministry there, the youth ministry in that area, and maybe some of the opportunities that you have through that ministry.
Yes, Tim, I came to be the youth minister, student minister here February of 07. And so just celebrated 2 years here and just seeing some wonderful things that God's doing not only in the lives of our youth but through them as well. And our middle school is just really growing. Our junior high class, we had to switch out this past Sunday in Sunday school because our junior high class has gotten so big. You know, you just see our teenagers that are reaching out to their friends and their family and just seeing some phenomenal growth, especially in that middle school segment. Of course, our high school, what a great group of kids I'm able to help, just help them grow closer to the Lord. And we're just excited about what God's not only doing in our student ministry, but what he's doing here at High Street Baptist Church as a whole.
Now, Ed, how long have you been at the church?
I have been here 1 year as of Good Friday.
Oh, my goodness.
1 year as of Palm Sunday, yeah. So just celebrated the one-year anniversary.
Wow. So you're shaking things up there, huh?
Well, I'll tell you, God has – his spirit is moving, and this was a phenomenal church before I was here. And there's been a lot of lay leadership – and a lot of great folks on my staff, like Brad, and a lot of great youth and young families who've just really stepped up to the plate. So I have to give credit to the Lord and to those who are working so hard.
Amen. Well, I don't know who wants to do this, but Ed, Brad, one of you want to jump in and talk a little bit about what you guys have been active with the first part of the year. I know you've got some innovative things going on. You know, sometimes we think that only innovative strategies come out of our larger churches, you know. And I know you guys are not a small church by any means, but, you know, you guys are doing a lot of neat things. Tell me just a little bit about some of the things that you've been doing. I know you had a lot of things going on in March, Ed, related to some spiritual warfare and focusing on that, and you're using Facebook, you're using MySpace, you're doing all kinds of different things there. Tell me a little bit about that.
I'll give you the snapshot.
Okay.
One of the things that I brought to the leadership was just a heart for essentially, let's not come up with a vision. Let's not meet together as a board and make some arbitrary decision. Let's have a time of seasoned prayer and really seek where God is at work and what he might be calling us to do, and then we'll formulate a vision. And that's what we did through June and July of last year. That began a series of incredible revelations of things that were needed in our community. And one of the things that we were struggling with, as many churches do, is outreach. We had a, you know, we're like any other church. We have a limited number of adults, and they're very busy, and their time is very critical, and their families require lots of attention. And so we just were not getting the job done. So we looked where our energy and youth and vigor were, and we found it in our middle schoolers and our high schoolers.
Mm-hmm.
They had the time, they had the energy and the motivation. And I had been praying about a way that we could really reach out, and a local computer chain who has a very successful service policy, a commercial came on, and I saw it, and obviously the God Squad was born,
mm-hmm.
An idea to utilize our middle school and senior high kids to actually go out into the community and serve different parachurch organizations, to be at different public events, to serve other churches, to serve door-to-door if necessary, and when appropriate, to go to the malls. And so Brad really just, you know, he and the youth jumped all over this.
Mm.
And so one of the great things that we started with was the God Squad. And they have shirts and hoodies and,
mm-hmm.
and their little logo, and it's just really awesome. And that has drawn a lot of youth. But what it actually also did was drew a lot of adults in who wanted to be a part of the process. So now we have this huge swarm of 35 to 50 people who are active and mobile. Between the time that they started in October of last year and this past month, we have estimated that they have personally contacted between 2,500 and 3,000 people, a seventh of our community. So pretty effective job that they're doing there. And that was just one of the initiatives that we started. We set forth a six-prong policy where we said, what are the six things that are most important to us? In ministry, and we came up with children being the number one. Number two was students. Number three was marriage. Number four was family. Number five was men's ministry. Number six was seniors ministry, and number seven was grief ministry. So seven things
mm-hmm.
that we were really looking at. And so the next thing we moved to was a variety of marriage initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
And we started a new marriage Sunday school department. We've added four classes now, all of which are thriving and growing. You just can't fill them up as fast enough. Finding space is the real challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And that led us to the next step, which college age. At the first of the year, began a new project called Saturday Night Life.
Mm-hmm.
And what we were finding was a lot of the college students at the local campuses really didn't have anywhere to meet people or hang out or just do anything. So we started Saturday Night Life with the opportunity of coming and having a brief worship time and then going and hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been wonderful. We've seen, 22, 26 college students now active in our ministry. And, again, we're a small to medium-sized church, and Sunday school class of nine right out of the gate, which is just phenomenal. That's been a growing opportunity. So we came into March and realized the need to begin to do some spiritual warfare work. And who better than Dr. Chuck Lawless from Southern Seminary is the dean at the Billy Graham School. So we brought Chuck in, and Chuck led us through what it means to really get out. Because, you know, we're already on the front lines. We're already sending our kids out. We're making personal contacts. We're witnessing. But what it is to really fight the powers and the principalities behind the things that entrap a community, that shut out the light. And so through that, we've really come through some adversity And we've learned that adversity is the most needed component to new ministry growth. And so all in all, I have to say that after 1 year, we've gone from 139 in Sunday school and 159 in worship of January 2008 to where we are today, which is as of January 2009, we were at 230 average worship, 190 average Sunday school. And I was really excited because this last Easter, last Sunday, we hit 287 in attendance, highest number we've seen in over 20 years. And then we combine with that, the real proof is in the pudding. We've had 48 decisions in this past year, and we have four more that will be baptized this next Sunday. So, you know, God is just incredible, and he is at work, and I would assume he is at work in everyone's community. And it's just a matter of tapping in. You know, we're not reinventing the wheel. We're just doing things a little more creatively.
Well, tell me, Ed, those 48 decisions, where are those coming from? Are those, is it just, you know, is it students and adults and just a mixture or?
The mean age would be in the 20s. A high, as you might assume, a high number of youth and young families. But we also have reached several in 70s, 50s, 70s. Because we've rearranged our worship structure, we offer a gospel hour at 8:45. A lot of churches in town have tried to move, I think, strictly contemporary, and it's disenfranchised a lot of folks. So we have started that gospel hour at 8:45, and that has just exploded. We have found so many people who are looking for that Southern gospel format. But then in our 11 o'clock service, we've gone very much praise and worship and contemporary, and it has just boomed. Parking has become a problem. Space is certainly a problem, and we're addressing that. We're going to have to renovate before we build. So we're working on that as we speak. But the main thing that I want to say is, you know, as a small church pastor, all those years of frustration, and the simple answer was just get out of your church. Get out of your church. A lot of the things we do with the God Squad and other ministries happen at atypical times. God Squad goes out usually during worship service on a Sunday. A lot of people at first were a little edgy about that. Say, why are we sending our youth out when they should be worshiping? And we've had to convince them that service is worship. Witnessing is worship. And as we've begun to win that battle of the hearts and minds, we're seeing incredible things happen.
That is wonderful. It sounds like with that shift that you made in providing some opportunities for contemporary worship for youth and students, that you're reaching a lot of those students that may have, as you mentioned, been disfranchised by the church and now are finding a place of relevance once again, huh?
That's right. And what you have to do is you don't set your sights. You know, I think one of my worst traits as a young minister just starting out was I thought that I had to be Billy Graham. I thought that every time that I had a church service, 3,000 people had to respond and come to the Lord. But what I found is God says, if you're faithful with little, I will give you more.
Amen.
So we've lowered a lot of our expectations to say, if we win one soul, then we have accomplished a great and mighty thing.
Amen.
And the glory goes to the Lord. Anything beyond that is gravy. And so when we get 6 or 9 or 10, or when we see 20 senior adults gather, or when we see 35 students and another 15 adults get together, we just simply say amen. If 10 came, amen. If 2 come, amen.
Amen. Amen. Give glory to God. Right. Hey, Brad, do you want to say a word or two about how you're kind of, have you been getting the word out about to the college and career and the junior high school students and getting them connected?
Absolutely. We started a evangelism course, the Share Jesus Without Fear, and this is kind of what kicked off our heart for the lost. I mean, if our churches, if our Christians of today aren't telling people about Jesus, then who's going to?
Amen.
And what better group to start with than our junior high and high school? And as we vie for the attention of our youth, as you and I and we all know, there's so many things that are garnering the attention of our youth today. And so I think our programs have to be relevant to the teenagers, and they have to be energized and enthusiastic about what they're doing with their student ministry group as well. So what we started doing was actually just once a month, usually on the third Wednesday of each month, just heading right out of the church doors into our community, our Jerusalem, so to speak, knocking on doors and just spreading the gospel. One of the most moving experiences that we have when we go door to door is the opportunity to pray with folks, because I heard it mentioned many years ago that, you know, nobody cares how much you know till they know how much you care. And when they see a group of junior high and high school students on their front doorstep asking them, you know, how we can pray for them if they know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and, you know, that makes a big impact on folks. And we've run into people that are facing family issues, illnesses, and we've been able to pray with them right on their front porch. And what a moving experience that is as God blesses that. And then we started, when Brother Ed came, he had the idea of holding an outreach at the Walmart. And that's, like he shared with us earlier, that's where the God Squad was born out of. And so we were armed with our black and orange God Squad shirts, and we hit the local Walmart giving away hot dogs and drinks. And we were just basically, we were blessed to have local merchant managers that would let us come and pass out our literature and witness about Jesus and just share in a ministry and serve as well. What we found most, providing the most opportunities to get the word out is actually washing the windshields at the local supermarket's gas pumps. You can't imagine the opportunity that gives you to, you know, show the very love of Jesus by serving them, and which kicks the door wide open to share your faith. And I was sharing with Brother Ed earlier about we have held outreach events for our local God's Food Pantry, for a local spouse abuse shelter, for in the near future for the Alzheimer's Center, and just some great worthy causes, the AIM Pregnancy Support Center. What was really neat, I guess, as we see our ministry really come full circle, is the last outreach we were on, I was actually washing the windshield of a lady that had came and received the proceeds from a previous outreach for the Spouse Abuse Center, and there I was washing her windshield for the God's Food Pantry. And what a blessing it was to share with her that, hey, this is what we were out doing when we were able to benefit your agency. And of course she participated, and it's just, it really is, all the glory goes to God as he works in and through these young people. And but there was three components that really stood out when you stand back from your student ministry and you say, you know, what do we really want to accomplish? We've got 6 years with them. From junior high through graduation, and what do we want to see happen during that 6 years? And there was really three things that come to mind. The first and foremost, obviously, being surrender. As we surrender our lives to Christ, as you see our students growing in their relationship and coming to Christ for the very first time, as they surrender that life, God works through them to just look for opportunities to join in where he's already working. And when you do surrender your life, as you and I both know, and obviously Brother Ed, he will show you those needs. And as we look through God's eyes, we're able to serve him by serving others and creating ministry opportunities, which leads into the second point of service. We need to serve others to show the love of Christ. And what better way to serve Christ than going out, even during worship hour, sometime where the people obviously are not at their...
Did you say during worship times?
Yes. Yeah, that's the... I guess we're going against the grain. We actually get commissioned. We'll go up front in the beginning of our 11 o'clock service, and we'll be prayed over by our congregation, and as we're sent out into the world, where they're obviously not at. They're not at church. So we're actually going where they are and showing them the love of Christ. And finally, the third point is sharing. As we do surrender our life to Christ, as we serve Christ through serving others, it provides us the opportunity then to share our faith. And that's what Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you should be witnesses unto me. And that's exactly what we're doing. When the public sees our youth of today in their own time serving them and sharing the gospel through whatever means, whether we're handing out hot dogs or giving away drinks to the needy, that in our last outreach there was a lady holding up a sign needing help. We were able to go to her, give her some food, and minister to her in her time of need. And that goes against the grain of what the world is out there saying.
Mm-hmm.
And what a great opportunity is to serve the Lord through that.
Well, it's amazing, because one of the things that I immediately noticed and picked up on through my conversations with you guys is the fact that that your church, that High Street, is not only throwing the challenge out there for the students or the young adults or the medium adults, senior adults, but you're giving them tangible ways to get out there into the community and impact the lost, those that need to hear the gospel.
That's
the difference. I mean, and just alone, you're saying that you've made 2,500, 3,000 contacts, and I forget how many. What time frame was that again?
From October of last year until this month.
I mean, that is just amazing, considering the size of your community you're talking about, and the size of your church, and the force that you're mobilizing there. I mean, how many churches can say that, you know? And obviously any church can do it, but it takes intentionality, doesn't it?
It really does.
And I think a lot of churches, I have been guilty of this, Tim, as a pastor. Every church has a sign, and it's a sign that's different from your sign that's on the road. It's a sign that tells people what you really are. And when you don't go out, and I've been guilty of this as a pastor in the past, of having a church of four walls, your sign says, when you're ready, we're here. And we think that's a good message for the community. We think, well, that sounds right. When you're ready, we're here. But the problem with that message is it says, when you're ready to straighten up, when you're ready to talk like us, when you're ready to cross that great divide and come across that hardest mile to walk between the parking lot and the front door of this church, when you're ready to be Christianese and clean up and dress right, then you can join us. But until then, you're not welcome. Or there's another sign that says, hey, yeah, we know church is going on. We know it's the 11 o'clock hour. We know where other Christians are worshiping. And God bless them. We need to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as Hebrews teaches. But there is a great value at going during that 11 o'clock hour and finding those people that are out there where they are. You know, they're just going to buy groceries, having lunch plans or whatever, going down to the lake, and we're there with food, lunch, washing windows. We're there where they are, and we're saying, you know, our sign says we're here for you.
It's just getting back to the basics of being the church to the community, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, in Acts, I don't think we had a lot of walls with folks meeting with electric worship and electric music and all that sort of thing, did we?
No, we didn't. And that's one of the focuses. I have to also say that we have this predates my service here, but we have a phenomenal missions outreach as well. Locally, nationally, and internationally. We send several trips each year. We're going over to Appalachia. We've sent trips down to New Orleans, our second of this year. We're headed to Nicaragua. So we have a very active external mission space, but now we're coupling that with our Jerusalem and our Judea. And I got to tell you, it's simple things. It's little things that are making big, big differences. And are, you know, it never fails, does it, Brad, that we will have a Sunday where we have visitors packed wall to wall, and we'll get back comment cards. I read 5 comment cards in our staff meeting today, and they were beaming with people who were saying how welcome they have felt and how loved that they have felt and how excited the energy was in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this comes from just doing what God says, serving Him and serving others.
You know, listening to you, Ed and Brad, talk about the church and talk about what all that's happening, God is doing with around High Street there. You know, you could easily say, wow, that must be a church that runs, you know, 500,000, 1,500 folks, you know. And what is so refreshing to hear is this is a church that I don't know historically what the numbers have been, but, you know, you're running 250, almost 300 folks in an area that sounds like there's a tremendous opportunity for growth, and it's been nothing but just loving on the community and getting out into the community and making yourself known. That's pretty much what I'm hearing, what you guys are saying.
I remember a comment from one of the ladies we were able to reach on one of our community outreach door-to-door, and she had committed to come to church because of what the youth were doing.
Mm-hmm.
She made the comment similar to this, that, you know, if you're all going to come out here and knock on my door, then I'm going to come visit you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so refreshing. And because, as you know, as Southern Baptists, going door to door and going where the people are is not a rule. Other religions are out there very active going door to door. It's so refreshing to see our Baptist youth going door to door, sharing the love of the one and only true God.
Mm-hmm.
What I really love, the one other story, this past month on outreach, the youth were walking through the neighborhood, and they came across a very elderly woman who was cleaning leaves and branches and whatnot from her fence line with a rake very slowly. And one of the young people looked at their adult chaperone and said, "Can we help?" And he said, "Absolutely." And so they ran over there and they bagged up that woman's entire yard for her and carried it to the curb. And they walked around the corner and there was another little lady doing the same thing. And they didn't even have to ask. They ran right over and bagged up all of her leaves and took them to the curb for her. They take batteries out in the fall for smoke alarms and just ask if they can go in the house and replace them free of charge. And we take the fire department with us. And just so much that these young ones are doing. And simple little act
mm-hmm.
of service.
Ed, thanks. A minute ago, you talked a little bit about the not only the historic outreach of the church, it goes beyond Jerusalem, and the activities you have going on there related a lot to mobilization. I know you guys have been active in Operation NOAA Rebuild, and you've done things in North America as well as, you know, across the world. Share with me a little bit, I don't know if Brad or Ed wants to share, but share with me a little bit about this idea, this virtual mission trip, 09, that you guys undertook, and tell us a little bit about what that looked like and what you were trying to accomplish through that.
Okay. I can field that one. We have become a Facebook church. It is an amazing thing. I had been looking at some of Josh Hunt's material, and Josh has been just really positive in putting out a lot of stuff about, you know, getting out on the social networking communities and being Christians in cyberspace. And so, you know, at first I was very reserved because, you know, there's a lot of bad stuff on the Internet, and social networking sites come with a certain degree of risk. And so it's not for the faint of heart, and you have to realize that, you know, a lot of things can pop up on your site that you didn't put there. When other people make comments, it shows up. So, you know, you got to get your hands dirty when you go into this. But, you know, I started a Facebook page, and it was glorious. I began connecting with old high school friends, connecting with people locally, people nationally, people internationally. And so I had been praying and said, God, you know, is there a way to use this? And I realized that a lot of my church members, especially the younger college age and some of the young marrieds and even the youth, were all over Facebook and MySpace and places like that. So, you know, it just dawned on me, let's use this. There's plenty of ways to find friends and connect with people. And so I challenged the church. We had a training for some who didn't know how to operate or navigate along these social networks, how to set up a page, mm-hmm. how to use some of the features. And I just said, for fun, let's just take a week. Let's take a week where at least 1 hour a night, when you would be surfing the computer anyway, where you intentionally reach out to friends, coworkers, high school students, classmates, next-door neighbors, using a social networking tool like Facebook or MySpace, and just see how far you can get. See who you can talk to. See if they'll let you talk about Christ. The amazing thing is through that, just my own personal experience, I was able to share Christ several times a day, and I even made a connection with a Muslim in Egypt. I have been able to begin a conversation, very open to Christ, very open, wants to know a lot, and he's able to do that in an anonymous situation where he's not going to receive any public consternation for that. So locally, nationally, internationally, I can't say enough about this tool, and we're going to use it more. I think this very first time out, we had a handful of people participate, and they were all very positive of their reports. So I think as that begins to move through the church, we're going to explore that again. But here's the problem. In the past, again, I've been guilty of this, church being on the lagging edge of society,
mm-hmm.
lagging edge of culture. And so it always seems like we're, at least in my context, I've always been a part of that almost irrelevant, day late, dollar short kind of situation. And God has just opened my eyes and said, hey, look, you get out there on the cutting edge. That's where people are. And they will be wowed mm-hmm. that you are coming after them with such love
mm-hmm.
In their context.
Well, that is amazing. And, you know, the Acts 1-8 Challenge has had a group on Facebook now for a few months. I think it was started late last year, and it's up to, I think, around 1,200, 1,300 participants now, pastors, mission leaders, youth pastors. And recently, a Twitter account was started for Acts 1-8. So, I mean, this new technology is here. And the church can either embrace it and use it to further the kingdom of Jesus Christ, or, like you said, Ed, just sit back and allow the world to pass it by. And, you know, things like the Internet are used for the evil deeds of the evil one in many ways, isn't it? But if the church were able to take that space and move it into its realm, a lot of good can be done for the furthering of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And if you look at Jesus' context, the religious were always saying, run away.
Mm-hmm.
Run away from the sinner. Run away from the sin.
Mm-hmm.
Stay clear. And, you know, there is a wisdom to that. Paul says that we ought to be careful that, you know, we understand that bad company can corrupt good character.
Absolutely.
So there is a certain amount of preparation, and like I say, it's not the things we're doing are not for everything, for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Not for the new Christian. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not for novices, not for mm-hmm. new Christians. There are some in our congregation who, while they support it with their whole heart and love the church, don't necessarily agree with everything because it is so cutting edge and innovative, but we're blessed that they support us regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you're going to have to either run away from the world or run to the world. And when you think about the fact that we have the only cure for death mm-hmm. and disease mm-hmm. in the world,
mm-hmm.
and that they're dying at a rapid rate, it just occurs that common sense and scripture and the admonitions of the Lord is that we run to the world with the antidote.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Our God broke bread with sinners, didn't he?
He did.
Hey, Brad, why don't we, as we wrap up this podcast, Brad, if there's a word maybe you wanted to share with youth pastors out there that are possibly in the same sort of area of ministry where you are, and maybe a smaller community, and you might share with them a word of encouragement about where God has taken the youth ministry there at High Street and the possibilities there. And then, Ed, maybe if you could follow him with just a word of encouragement to pastors out there that might be listening to this podcast.
Yeah, I would just like to encourage all the youth pastors that a lot of times we are prone to think about the conventional visitation methods of the church and how it's always been or how we've always done it. But our youth of today, our junior high, our high school kids, especially here talking from the experience I've had with them, they love the Lord, they love serving Him. And what an opportunity to put shoe leather to their faith, to go out there and serve others, to knock on doors, to meet people at Walmart or Kroger's or at the gas pumps or whatever, and just let them shine that light. And what better opportunity to help them to build on that foundation that they've already laid on Jesus Christ about sharing their faith, about what we're all called to do. So I would just encourage all the youth pastors out there to just be thankful for the flock that God has given them, and to go out and with enthusiasm and share the gospel with their student ministry, whether it's like us when we just go out in the community, or whether it's major outreaches for local agencies. It's just so refreshing to just see the looks on our youth's faces when we're able to come into contact with people and share the word of Christ, or just share their testimony, or just simply serve them in any way. And it just, I think it brings relevance to their faith in this world that, you know, hey, there is something to this, and I've got what the world needs, and just they're out there ready to share that. So I would just encourage any youth pastor out there that's not currently doing any evangelism or doing it the way they've always done it, is to look at fresh ways, because it's really opened a lot of doors, not only for our church, but especially our youth ministry with this God Squad initiative. And I would encourage every youth pastor out there to look for new ways to spread the gospel in this world.
Absolutely. Well, I do need to tell you, for those who are out there listening to this and thinking, gosh, he must have unlimited resources. He must have a staff of 20. Our staff is myself, full-time. I have a full-time music minister and associate. Then Brad is bivocational, and I have a part-time secretary and a part-time janitor. And that's it. I would say that those who would think this would take forever and more resources and more, you can do it. The main thing is to remember to provide good, solid leadership, pastors. You have to understand your followship. You have to understand the followship style of your people. And I want to say, some of these things that we're doing won't work in your context, and some of the things you're doing may not work here. But the essence is, get with God. Get with God and start there. And sometimes God tells you some pretty bizarre things that sound undoable. They sound sometimes I've had God bring things to mind that sound crazy. But if you'll think them through and pray them through and you'll follow the Spirit, what you'll find is that you can make even the smallest of staff, the smallest of budgets, work. And we work effectively not because of the staff we have, but, you know, obviously you see Brad is incredible, and he's doing a wonderful work here. But we have lay people who are empowered, and I cannot emphasize that enough. You have to delegate. You have to train, make people responsible, and let them loose to serve. And if you'll do these things, then your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, and the outer ends of the earth are going to be revolutionized. And you will be pleased and blessed to the point beyond your wildest imaginations. And I just thank the Lord so much that though I have not arrived yet, He has opened my eyes to so many things. on how to serve him simple things. And the simpler, the better. So, pastors, I encourage you, don't get discouraged. Remember, we have a great and powerful God, and he is able to take just a few loaves and fish and feed 5,000.
Amen. What a good word, Ed and Brad, and I appreciate you guys so much for being on the podcast today. And as usual, pastors, mission leaders, I'm sure Brother Ed and Brad would be more than happy to speak with you about what's going on there in Somerset, Kentucky at High Street Baptist Church. I want to share with you their website, and that is www.highstreetonline.org. That's www.highstreetonline.org. So, love for you to be able to check them out online, and I'm sure contact information is there to that you can contact Brother Ed and Brad and others in the church there about what's going on. Any final word, guys?
Just go.
Go do it.
Go do it, yeah.
Amen. Well, you guys have a wonderful day there in the Bluegrass State. Is that what you call it, the Bluegrass State?
Bluegrass State, absolutely.
Amen. Okay. Well, God bless, and you guys have a good day.
For more information about the Acts 1-8 Challenge or to register your church, go to www.acts18.com or call 1-800-4-ACTS-18.